Page 20, Analysis and Personal Perspectives, a look at the 2012 Fall CCB Conference and Convention. Tuan Nguyen. Editor's note, we first published an article by Tuan, My Very First ACB Convention Experience, in the spring 2010 issue of the BC, for which he received an honorable mention from the Awards Committee. Now age 27, he has just been elected president of the California Council of Blind Students. Here are a few words from Tuan about his background. My family and I immigrated to the United States in 1993 as political refugees. My dad was a lieutenant in Vietnamese Navy, and shortly after the fall of Saigon on April 30, 1975, he was captured by North Vietnamese forces, and they put him in a concentration camp, enduring harsh labor for over 5 years. During the 1980s, the U.S. government allowed Vietnamese prisoners of war, along with their families such as my own dad and my whole family, to come to the U.S. as political refugees. I am so glad to be here in this country, away from a territory where there is no established democracy, and where I did not obtain the quality education I deserve. Upon arriving in the U.S., I was diagnosed with Usher's syndrome. I obtained the essential skills of a blind human being, such as braille literacy, mobility and orientation, daily living skills, and other fundamentals necessary to my adult life today, despite the challenges. Page 21. I am currently an undergraduate student at California State University, Sacramento, majoring in physics with a minor in mathematics. As of this writing, I am almost completing my degree, and I am planning, if at all possible, to stay at SCU Sacramento to obtain a master's in mathematics. My career goal is in the field of high school math, physics teaching, and possibly community college teaching. My hobbies are traveling to new places, hiking, camping, gardening, performing fun home-based scientific experiments, boating, and cross-country skiing. Finally, a member of the CCB Capital Chapter, I am proud to be a part of the CCB for almost 10 years. Once again, delegates, members, and friends of the California Council of the Blind, CCB, as a family assembled for the fall conference and convention in a beautiful place of Del Mar located in San Diego. The Del Mar Marriott Hotel was one of the best venues I have been to over the recent years, so navigable and rectangular in shape, making it very easy to get from place to place. Instead of the usual convention reports you've read in past years, I hope to give more of an analysis and my personal perspectives and less of a report. Page 22. I hope that doing so will wake people up to attend future conventions while simultaneously demonstrating to the readers that the writer has some level of intellectual abilities. Additionally, with respect to the general sessions, I only highlight some speakers, not only because of space constraints, but because it provides extra room for me to present personal perspectives and analysis on this unforgettable or possibly historical gathering. The convention and conference lasted for 4 days, from Thursday, November 1st through November 4th. The theme was Following Our Vision in Challenging Times, which is a powerful one, signifying hopes, strengths, and above all, collectivity. I arrived at the San Diego airport shortly after 11 in the morning, took a ride on the super shuttle, checked in the hotel, picked up my pre-registration package, including the Braille version of the program, and settled down the rest of the afternoon. There were 3 pre-convention activities in the afternoon, such as a welcome party, the technology session on Apple devices, and the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, CCCLV session. I didn't attend any of them, not because I was uninterested, but because I was pretty exhausted from constant sleep deprivation due to my intense studies in physics and from taking 2 painful exams on 2 consecutive days just prior to my arrival. Page 23, instead I rested for a little while by taking a nap. This hotel had CCB specials on its restaurant menu, really handy for those of us on a budget. After the fabulous meal, I went over to the Grand Ballroom for the evening CCB Board of Directors meeting, open to the general membership, which was delayed for almost 3/4 of an hour due to the executive session. All I can say is that the meeting was in a good warm atmosphere with the officers carrying out the duties in a professional manner, constantly having dialogues among themselves and occasionally with the audience acting as pundits from the floor. In general, this gathering is one of the few places where CCB members have the opportunity to sit down and carefully, directly scrutinize via their eyes and ears the functional activities and work within the board, as well as to ask questions and or to make comments directly. Otherwise, these meetings are closed to the public, as with the case of all executive sessions. In addition, this is where the folks can draw criticisms on the board's overall work, and is where they can judiciously determine whom he or she will vote for at future elections. Rather than enjoying myself at the hospitality hosted by the San Diego chapter, I climbed up to my room and crashed. Page 24. On the next day, Friday, after having a good night's sleep for well over 7 hours, recovering from about 5 hours from all the nights a few days before, there were some morning activities occurring concurrently before the start of the first general session. While the morning gatherings included credentials and resolutions committees, committees on access and transportation, and CCCLV joint session, an Association for Multicultural Concerns, AMC workshop, all of which I heard went smoothly and well. I, however, attended two other meetings, the Braille Revival League of California, BRLC, and the California Library Users of America, CLUA. In the first part of the BRLC meeting, presided over by President Steve Fort, everyone was doing the usual business, such as adopting minutes, reviewing financial reports, elections, among other duties. It was absolutely great to learn about this wonderful affiliate, and at the end of its session, I showed my love by proudly joining the group. Honestly speaking, Braille is indispensable in my life as a physics student, for without it, I do not know how I would succeed in an area of science that many CCB members consider the most scary and unimaginably difficult subject. So I hope I will bring new ideas to this group in the years to come. Page 25. After tackling technical difficulties that delayed for 15 minutes or so, we had Kim Charlson, First Vice President of the American Council of the Blind, ACB, Editor, Braille Revival League, Librarian, Perkins School, Watertown, Mass., on the phone via an external loudspeaker. She discussed the Unified English Braille, UEB, code. As of this writing, the Braille Authority of North America, BANA, has adopted the UEB while preserving the Nemeth code. Good news. Immediately following Kim Charlson's presentation, I stayed on for a little while for the next business meeting, which was CLUA, presided over by President Judy Wilkinson. As with the BRLC event earlier that day, members were executing the traditional tasks, as well as talking at some length regarding how to effectively improve the affiliate's overall financial health. In my opinion, this is extremely important in maintaining and strengthening the financial resources for this and any affiliate slash chapter within the CCB, or the CCB itself for that matter. On the other hand, it has well over 45 members, which is wonderful to hear, and I hope it will continue to grow further down the road. During the lunch break, some members headed to the respective luncheons offered by the convention. I instead went down to the lower level of the hotel, browsing around the exhibit hall. Page 26. I went through virtually all table booths, but I spent the majority of the time at the Optelec booth examining the latest state-of-the-art high-tech devices for blind individuals, such as refreshable Braille displays and standalone scanners. While there, I asked the representatives about the future scanners that can take pictures of any highly complex, technically sophisticated materials of physics and advanced mathematics, allowing someone like me to independently scan and read them without relying on 5 or even 7 human readers per semester. They took down notes and will ask the company to look into that, and hopefully in the future, Optelec will develop a scanner that can snap all technical books with mathematical expressions and equations. On Friday afternoon, the conference and convention officially got underway and proudly roared with the first general session presided over by the First Lady of the ACB, President of the CCB, Donna Pomerantz. After delivering the invocation, the Pledge of Allegiance, important announcements, and other internal matters, there were a number of presenters during this assembly. All were very interesting and unquestionably fascinating. I am highlighting 2 of the speakers. Page 27. First, Judge David M. Szymowski delivered a speech entitled Success Through Education, Technology, and Perseverance. To me, he is someone who is highly inspirational, intelligent, and knowledgeable, and he is no doubt a highly respected, honored jurist. Being blinded in the Vietnam War, he received his Doctor of Jurisprudence from Denver University School of Law in 1973, and currently is assigned to the San Diego Probate Court. Judge Szymowski discussed at length his law school challenges, employment experiences, motivation, networking, ambition, law practice obstacles, both as a former deputy district attorney and a current judge, and adaptations. One of the topics he mentioned was how he utilizes his sense of hearing in telling the credibility of witnesses who appear before him. Additionally, he pointed out the importance of enjoying what you are doing in life is necessary in determining a good road toward a career success. The last item of the afternoon was a panel of 3 individuals, including Christy Goldenberg, Joshua, and Joshua's father, a discussion entitled The Joshua Project. And I found it quite inspiring, and it felt like you learned something from this wonderful family's perspective, facing emotional challenges of raising a blind child with bilateral microphthalmia and optic nerve maldevelopment. Page 28. As a family, they've made substantial changes in order for Josh to adapt new skills, as well as having Josh learn to read and write in Braille, which I strongly believe are indisputably essential for all aspects of this blind child's success in future life, ranging from academic growth to social development. In general, I have no doubt that Josh will have great potential. Upon the adjournment of the first general session, there were a number of late afternoon activities, such as the First Timers Seminar, the CCB Constitution and Bylaws Committee, the President's Dinner, among others. The evening assembly, presided over by First Vice President Eugene Lozano, Jr., offered some special treats for everyone in attendance. After giving away some really sweet door prizes, shouting out important announcements, delivering the remembrance of CCB members who have passed away since the spring 2012 gathering, and the Credentials Committee report delivered by Pamela Pelagi, the first speaker was exceptionally valuable, especially to the blind community. An assistant clinical professor with the University of California San Diego Department of Ophthalmology at the Shiley Eye Center, Dr. Henry A. Ferreira, discussed at length the topic of treatment of diabetic macular edema, providing the audience a brief overview of the disease process of diabetes mellitus. Page 29. He then presented information on what is diabetic macular edema, DME, stating that it is the leading cause of blindness in the general population if the glycemic control is not well under control. Then he discussed the available treatment options out in the market, such as laser photocoagulation, antivascular endothelial growth factor, VEGF therapies, surgical vitrectomy, and so on. Finally, he provided the associated statistical data on success rates and risks. I found the delivery medically and scientifically fascinating, so I strongly encourage CCB members, when the convention's audio files are available on the CCB website, to relive this speech and all other general sessions' amazing presentations. Next, there were a couple of speakers, including Jeff Tom's legislative report, before President Donna Pomerantz delivered her semi-annual presidential report to the membership. In her remarks, she provided an overview of what the CCB has been doing since the spring gathering, and she seriously stated that there is still a lot of work to be done as long as the members are working collectively as a family. This is indisputably true, because if there is a lack of hand-holding collaboration among all members in the organization, how can we get all projects, essential programs, services, and so forth in an expeditious manner? Page 30. Remember, this is a grassroots consumer advocacy organization, as Donna stated in her report, where the membership serves as a vehicle which point out directions, approaches the CCB leaders to execute the necessary work on behalf of blind and visually impaired Californians. The final hurdles for the Friday evening were election of officers and board of directors. The following individuals were reelected, the majority of whom were by acclamation: President Donna Pomerantz, First Vice President Eugene Lozano Jr., Treasurer Peter Pardini, the board of directors, including Vincent Calderon, Lena Dawes, David Hanlon, and David Jackson. Congratulations to you all, and I wish you the very best in your respective administrations over the next 2 years. After a long, stressful day, I ascended to my room for the rest of the night while others were having relaxing moments at the hospitality room, and still others were doing business in the resolutions committee meeting. On Saturday, a multitude of activities in the morning included the CCB membership breakfast, Guide Dog Users of California, GDUC, business meeting, and a host of other committee meetings. Page 31. Since I am on the board of the California Council of Blind Students, CCBS, I attended its morning business session where I was elected president. Thanks to all who supported me, and I have many plans and ideas for my term. Our Jeopardy game afterward was so much fun. During the lunch break, while some members headed to their designated luncheons and others spent their final hours at the exhibit hall, I had a private lunch with coffee in my room and started working on my math homework before the third general session. The afternoon assembly, presided over by Second Vice President Roger Peterson, started out with the invocation, presentation of the colors, and the Pledge of the Allegiance, along with final announcements and resolving disputes. There were a couple of informative, interesting presentations, such as the fascinating history of Del Mar and issues relating to the Transportation Security Administration. Peter Pardini then took the microphone and talked briefly on the 2012 Mutt-Strutt report, stating that the CCB had raised well over $12,000. I'm delighted that our great organization had such a success, and I hope next year's Mutt-Strutt will be even better. The final item on the agenda for the session was the historical discussion slash debate and vote on constitutionally changing from two semi-annual conference and conventions to one annual gathering. Page 32. To my surprise, the debate slash discussion was pretty harmonious and peaceful, differing substantially from the 2009 gathering at the 75th anniversary in Fresno, where the members had a deeply heated debate almost to the point of hostility. The single most contributing factor in the change of CCB members' minds is financial burdens for attending two gatherings annually. After a little debate and head-scratching, the majority of the members in attendance voted in favor of the constitutional amendment by voice vote, and this change is not going to take effect until 2014. Meanwhile, prior to the evening banquet, there were a number of committee meetings. I attended the Visual and Hearing Impaired Committee with Roger Peterson, David Hanlon, Mike Keithley, Donna Sanchez, among others in attendance. It was such a lively, warm congregation, and we discussed and brainstormed a number of ideas pertaining to the issues of improving and procuring new assistive learning devices needed by some conventioneers during general sessions and other meeting functions. I personally think this is highly indispensable because convention organizers would like to have everyone with sensory deficits enjoy and have full participation in all the gathering activities as their medically normal brothers and sisters do, in spite of financial limitations. Page 33. Dress conservatively in a good-cut charcoal gray suit, navy blue dress shirt, blue-red striped tie, and black dress shoes, I, along with my fellow dressed-up members, walked to the grand ballroom for an amazingly wonderful banquet whose master of ceremonies was East Los Angeles chapter president Louis Herrera, a fun-making gentleman. The steak was so delicious, having a chance to use my super-sharp pointy knife, and I had an incredibly fabulous time with the lovely folks at my table, having great sweet conversations among ourselves. The guest speaker, our very own ACB President Mitch Pomerantz, gave a presentation of mixed topics, ranging from brief updates of the happenings at the national level to the importance of tight connection with the organization, particularly CCB or any blind consumer group one belongs to, in order to maintain strength and stability thereof. I was deeply moved by his speech and agreed with him 100%. After the fancy meal, a number of my companions and I rock and roll toward the hospitality room for the late night and well into the early morning hours of fun, mingles, and drinks, and we were all having a very good time together, celebrating our successes. Page 34. Sunday, the conference and convention's final half day, covered the morning devotional services, followed by a mini general session dealing with the treasurer's report, resolutions, see summaries elsewhere in this issue, reports from various committees, along with the final announcements from affiliates and members. All in all, a historical fall conference and convention was a well-done, outstanding, markedly successful one, with numerous seminars, programs, and interestingly fascinating general session speakers that characterized its uniqueness. However, since the event is behind us and with the fact that the members voted for an annual gathering, we now have to look into the future. Generally speaking, there is lots of work to be done down the road in this proudly great, wonderfully vibrant organization, ranging from strengthening bonds and communications between chapters and special interest affiliates to membership development and recruitment to fundraising. As long as all of us, the members, work collectively, collaboratively in a team, I'm sure we will overcome these challenges and will be strong and prosperous.